That look. Get in a comfortable position and relax. Close your eyes and shut out all that distract you. Now, take a deep breath in through your nostrils, filling your abdomen and chest with air. Exhale slowly through your mouth. Take another deep breath in, blow out slowly. Again, take a deep breath in and blow out slowly at the count of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Begin to feel relaxed. One more time, take a deep breath in and blow out slowly at the count of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. At your pace, take 2 more breaths and relax. Continue your deeper breathing, focus on tensing and then relaxing each muscle. Take a deep breath, expanding your chest. Hold. Now slowly exhale the breath, allowing your chest to return to its former position. Pull in your stomach muscles. Release. Feel the tension disappearing. And in its place, a feeling of relaxation. Your buttocks and thighs. Release and feel relaxed. While your legs are outstretched, press down your heels as hard as you can. Now release and feel the difference. Your toes away from your face as you make your calves tense. Straighten your toes and feel relaxed. Now bend your toes toward your face, creating tension in your shins. Release and enjoy a wonderful feeling of relaxation. Take a full deep breath and hold it for the count of 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Let it out at once, letting your body go completely limp and relax. I invite you to take a journey to Calvary. You are just beyond the brook Kedron, on the way to the city from Gethsemane. It is Thursday, and you are busy attending to your flock, when, quite suddenly, you hear the tumultuous noise of a mob. You drop everything and rush outside to see what is happening. People are yelling and screaming everywhere. Just what are they saying? You wonder aloud. You cannot understand their cries. So, you ask someone what this is all about. You are told about the man named Jesus and how he was betrayed in Gethsemane by Judas, his friend and disciple. You understand that this is a man who knows the scripture like no other man. He lived like no other man. Healed the sick, made blind folk see, cleansed the lepers' spots, caused the paraplegics to walk again, and brought the dead back to life. His story and the events intrigue you, so you leave all and follow the crowd. At the point of your decision, Jesus stops, turns around, and looks at you. So lovingly that your heart grows in love for him. See that look. Jesus is taken to the high priest's palace. There are many false witnesses who present their accusations against him. But their testimonies do not agree. Then, one witness testifies that Jesus said, "I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." frustrated high priest rises to his feet and asks Jesus if he is going to say anything in his defense. But Jesus is silent. Desperate for some word from the accused man, the high priest asks him,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of God?"
Now Jesus finally answers,
"I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven."
In utter disgust, the high priest tears his clothes, saying that no further witness is needed. Jesus is condemned to death. Your friend explains to you that the tearing of the high priest's clothes is forbidden and must be symbolic of the abolishment of the earthly high priest, now to be replaced by the work of Jesus himself in the heavenly sanctuary. You observe that all the accusations are unfounded, and those who want him dead do not have grounds to have him sentenced to death. You are sad to see a loving man being treated in such a cruel manner. He seems to sense feelings for him, turns in your direction, and gives you that caring, loving look. The people have been incited and are now enraged. They spit on him and cover his face and buffet him and say to him,
"Prophesy, prophesy!"
And the servants beat him with the palms of their hands. Your heart breaks to see such cruelty to one who did no
you are weeping loudly. Then, amidst all the insults and abuse, Jesus turns to you as if to say, "For you, this is nothing for me to bear, because I want you to live with me forever." Captivated by Jesus' look, your new friend points out Jesus' disciples who are present. Then, someone walks up to a gentleman and asks him, "Are you one of his disciples too?" In utter disgust, he promptly denies knowing Jesus. But your friend explains that he is Peter. However, before that issue is settled, another asks him the same question, which he denies. Three times he denies Jesus. And now, listen, the cock crows. Immediately, Peter turns his gaze to Jesus, who gives him the same kind of look he gave you twice before. See, Peter is overwhelmed with grief and runs out, weeping in loud sobs. It is night, and your new friend invites you to stay at a family's home. There you spend the night in solemn thought about the scenes of the evening. But the more you think, the more vivid you see the loving look of Jesus. You cannot sleep and wonder all night what to become of him. The next morning, Friday, when all Jews prepare for the Sabbath rest and worship, according to the Jewish custom in the Old Testament. You awake to know Jesus' fate. Soon, you learn that the Jewish leaders are confused about what they need to do to get rid of Jesus. So they take him to Pilate's judgment hall. They make more false accusations there. They say to him, "You said that you will destroy our temple and then rebuild it in 3 days. Madman, madman!" All the while, Pilate listens intently. Obviously, he's trying to save Jesus. So, Pilate offers to scourge Jesus and send him away. But all hell seems to break loose as Pilate asks the people to vote. "Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" To this question, the mob, incited by the chief priests, explodes. "Give us Barabbas! Barabbas! Barabbas!" Pilate is more than troubled. See him pale and white, probably thinking that his fate is sure if he tries to save Jesus from the mob. In utter frustration, he asks the evil people, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Now, the crowd cannot control itself, and the people shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!"
"Okay,"
says Pilate,
"I will whip him and let him go."
Again, the mob screams,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
See, Pilate, he's washing his hands on this matter and releases Barabbas. You are crying because you know that Jesus does not deserve to die. Somehow, you cannot take your eyes off him. Then, Jesus looks at you, and you feel that he has known you for a long time, and that somehow he sees your pain and grief. For a brief moment, you think about your life, and know that you have not always been true to God. Jesus looks at you again, as if to say, "Don't worry, by this very act you see today, I am setting you free from sin and death." Pilate's question,
"What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?"
troubles you. While you are thinking about your answer, The soldiers lead Jesus away into the common hall. They strip him of his clothes and dress him in a purple robe. Because Jesus claimed royalty, they place a crown of thorns upon his head and hammered it, causing blood to flow down his forehead, cheeks, and chest. They gave Jesus a scepter to hold. See, the people bow before him and mock him.
Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!
They are laughing and scoffing at him who is King of Kings. Now, they take off the purple robe and dress him in his clothes. Jesus is taken to Calvary to be crucified. A vast multitude follows. On the journey, they take the cross prepared for Barabbas and lay it upon sweet Jesus. Oh, how you wanted to help him, but you are pushed away by the crowd. Somehow, you manage to turn around just in time to see Jesus look at you. This time, you hear him say in that look, "My child, this is all for you, that you will live with me forever." Barabbas' friends are carrying their crosses. However, a man turns up and shows compassion, and the evil men in charge force him to bear the cross for Jesus. You wish to yourself that you could release Jesus from these evil men. He looks at you and says through his eyes, "I love you no matter what you have done. I am dying in your place so that you will be free from sin, guilt, death, and the grave." Along the way to Calvary, the people are still shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Finally, you arrive at the place of execution, where Jesus and two thieves are nailed to the cross. Jesus is placed in the middle of them. They are treated kindly, but he who is not condemned is jeered at, mocked at, and spat upon by those he came to save. Evil men nail his hands and spike his feet to the wooden cross. Now, they take up the cross with Jesus on it and dashed it into a prepared hole. This action causes his flesh to rip, and he writhes in pain, but says nothing to defend himself. Then he prays, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." See, the wicked people give him vinegar and bitter gall to drink. Then he looks at you, and you know it is all for your salvation. On top of the cross, the inscription, "King of the Jews," is placed. There's silence. Somebody is saying something that everybody wants to hear. One of the thieves says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." In spite of his pain, Jesus smiles with joy at the one sinner who repents and promises him, "I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus looks at you again, this time as if to ask you, "Will you accept my death for all your sins?" Again, Pilate's question troubles you. This time you breathe a prayer confessing all your sins and promising to be better than previously. Now, you behold Jesus' lovely bruised and blood-bathed face as he lovingly looks at you, pleased that you have decided to change. Stay at the cross and hear them challenge him. "If you are the Son of God, free yourself and come down from the cross." It is midday. Strange enough, darkness looms the area of the cross. However, you are not scared because you understand that Jesus has to die for you. But still, you wonder as to its significance. It seems like forever in this darkness, but only 3 hours have passed. Now listen. "Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani. Your friend tells you its meaning. Jesus exclaimed, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Immediately, the darkness lifts from the cross and he cries, "It is finished." Listen. Do you hear a rending noise? The inner veil of the temple is torn from top to bottom by an unseen hand. What is this? Do you feel the never-ending tremors of the powerful earthquake? The mountains and rocks are rent asunder and go crashing down into the plains. Sepulchres break open and the dead walk out of their tombs. All your doubts are gone, and you know that Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, God the Son, and King of Kings. Before you could get over the sensational feelings and events caused by the earthquake, you hear Jesus' final words. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." You are grief-stricken and weeping uncontrollably. Jesus bows his head and dies. Evil soldiers pierce him in the side of his body, and blood and water flow out. You understand that Jesus died of a broken heart. It was your sins that took his life. But you hear your new friend with you say that he would raise again the third day. So you follow to see where the man from Arimathea will bury him. It is early Sunday morning. You arise all excited to visit the graveyard. When you get there, standing afar off from the tomb, you feel the ground shake. It is another earthquake. An angel angel was dispatched from heaven to call the Son of God to life. His landing caused the earth to shake. You see him roll away the stone which sealed the tomb. And Jesus comes forth a victor over sin, death, and the grave. You are spellbound and gaze in awe. Several minutes have passed, and you walk over to the tomb. Do you see Mary? She is crying and says to you that Jesus is not in the tomb. Someone took him away. But you shout in praise, "Jesus the King is risen, and he's risen like he said he would." Oh, what joy fills your soul to know that your sins are forgiven and your eternal home is secure. Experience the immense joy for the next few moments. Thank you. Your eyes are still closed and you are breathing deeply. You have just been on a journey to Calvary and have witnessed Jesus' trial, death, and resurrection. You know that Jesus thought about you all the way to the cross. Oh, what love that he died just for you. Keep the memory of his love and the look he gave you. Through his blood, find pardon for your sins and grace to forsake those things that come between you and him. There is no need for you to be guilty when Jesus paid for your sins on Calvary. Because he forgives you, you also need to forgive others who have wronged you and experience real freedom and joy in your life. This is your time to experience the power of forgiveness. Your eyes in the next few seconds. You must have hope that Jesus will always take care of you. Get ready to open your eyes in the next 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4,
stay relaxed.